Tip today, in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning, welcome along to Tip Today, 1800 938 007, our free phone number. Doc is producing and he'd be glad to hear from you. Now, tomorrow, the 5th of March, from 6 p.m, we're broadcasting a remembrance. It's a special 20-minute programme of music and reflection to remember all those we've lost in the last 12 months. To commemorate this remembrance, we've partnered up this week with Frank Alley and his team at lovely Dundrum Nurseries to give you the chance to receive a holly bush. And there's a lovely tradition in Ireland about the holly bush. It commemorates life. So we've two more to give away on the programme this morning. So as you text and WhatsApp us, as you get involved with the programme, you might like to use that opportunity to remember a loved one. And give us your name and your details and we'll give away those two holly bushes before the end of the programme. Coming up on the show today, we hear from a personal trainer who chooses to defy lockdown to benefit people's mental health. Hidden Histories takes us to Boris O'Kane. Farming with Katrina from the Farmers Journal. Health and Fitness with Muriel Cuddy. And Gardening with Alton Nesbitt. All of that and much, much more on the way. Now, it is March 4th, and that means that today is World Book Day. Now, it's a day that tries to promote reading for pleasure, offering children and young people the opportunity to have a book of their own. And it's a worldwide celebration, I suppose, of books and reading. And it's marked in over 100 countries around the globe. Now, if you've been listening to Tip Today over the last few years, you will know that I'm a bookie and I love books and I try to promote reading as much as possible. So what we would love to happen today is you tell us, what are you reading at the moment? Simple as that. Share with us, what are you reading or what would you recommend? Did you read something special over Christmas that you were very impressed with and that you would recommend to us? And that's 083-311-3311. Let's have a look at what's making headlines today. First of all, to the Irish Independent, vaccinations drop sharply for 3 days of every week. Now, the HSE is administering, on average, 7,000 fewer vaccines per day on weekends and Mondays compared to the other days of the week. And that's according to a new analysis of its own data for the last month. Also on the front of the Indo today, a property group that lobbied the government for a shared equity scheme has admitted it may push up the price of houses. And also, if you're interested in that ongoing story of Gordon Elliott and him sitting on the horse in that infamous photograph at this point, there is a story inside the Indo, the inside story of being an owner with Gordon Elliott. So I'm sure a lot of people might be interested in that as well. Let us have a look at the Irish Times today. And of course, the more striking part of the front page today is an incredible photograph. Absolutely incredible. It's a starling murmuration and it forms the shape of a sort of a giant bird with these thousands and thousands of these birds in this formation, and it's in the Mullingar area near Loch Ennell there, and it's worth picking up the paper just for the photograph today. It's absolutely stunning. Also on the front of the Irish Times, EU threatens legal action in protocol row. They're at it again. The EU has angrily objected to that unilateral move by the Brits to extend a grace period for post-Brexit checks on some goods entering Northern Ireland from Britain. And that is a look at the Irish Times. To look at the Irish Examiner today, Kimberly had dreams, high hopes all taken from her. She was an unbelievable child. She had everything going for her. Dreams, high hopes, everything all taken from her. Those were the words of heartbroken mother Jennifer Hayes, who is still haunted by the sound of a car crash that killed her 16-year-old daughter, Kimberly O'Connor. And I'm just looking at a picture of Kimberly. And a gorgeous picture, gorgeous young girl, you know, all the expectation of life and all the hopes and dreams and all taken away. And also front of the Examiner today, partying UL students may face expulsion. And students who attended that Infamous street party in Limerick that saw 5 arrests and 50 fines so far issued for breaches of public health may face expulsion. Indeed, so there you go, serious stuff there. That's a quick look at the papers. 1800 938 007. We're always glad to hear from you. Now, moving on with the programme, the RTE Investigates programme last night told a harrowing tale of illegal adoptions in Ireland. It told the story of the people who were illegally put up for adoption by the Religious Sisters of Charity following the discovery in 2018 of paperwork from St. Patrick's Guild Catholic Adoption Society. Now, the founder of the adoptee rights group, EHANTAS, Marie Ryan O'Brien, says a number of supports need to be looked at.
Mental health supports for adoptees, birth parents and survivors. We want a full investigation into all practices surrounding historical domestic adoption, to include TUSLAM, the AAI, and would also align with progresses and with investigations in other countries.
Marie Ryan O'Brien speaking there. And I'm glad to be joined by Breda Murphy of the Mother and Baby Homes, the TUM Mother and Baby Homes Alliance, indeed. Breda, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
It's really good to talk to you again. Sadly, on another occasion where we hear harrowing tales, this time illegal adoption. Breda, what did you make of the programme last night?
Those people are incredibly brave, yeah. And one of them is actually your constituent as well. There,
that's right.
He's moved to Tipperary.
Yeah.
Brian, if he's listening, it would be wonderful to have him on the show because it's his life story, and he only found out a year ago, as he explained. Now, the reality being that the government know about this for decades. Well, certainly years. 10 years ago, their own authority produced a spreadsheet which showed them that this was something that had to be investigated. There are or were over 180 institutions and agencies and individuals involved in the arranging of adoptions in Ireland. So the true figure could actually be around 10,000. The confirmed figure from the scoping exercise last night is 151, which looked at just one institution. It is literally the tip of the iceberg. And that was a sampling review into illegal birth registrations, which was commissioned in 2018. Now, the publication of that, Fran, was deferred because it encroached on the work of the Commission of Inquiry into Mother and Baby Homes. And we've had that publication now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when you look back at the report, you now realise precisely how the government have again produced a whitewash, that never looks at the true extent and the state's involvement in this.
Is it true that the terms of reference of the Mother and Baby Homes report, that it could not cover the illegal adoptions because of terms of reference?
Yeah, it was constructed in such a way that it would not cover. Mm. But if you remember the various comments and pieces written into the report, that they found no evidence of forced adoption, for instance. I mean, this is much worse than forced adoption, if anything can be worse than that. It means that the state and its agents colluded with church and religious orders to falsify records. And in one case mentioned last night, Susan Kiernan, she spoke about her birth mum being a shop assistant in Arnott's.
Across the road from
literally.
Yeah.
Across the road from the agency.
Yeah.
And they wrote to her to say the balance owing is £82.10. Mm. Now, consider that is, in today's terms, €3,200 to a shop assistant.
Incredible. And that correspondence with her, Breda, it was threatening, wasn't it? That they would basically expose her if she didn't pay up.
Yeah, I'll read it out because the listeners who have not seen last night need to know that how the religious orders constantly hounded these girls. They even hounded them to the UK. Lorraine Grimes has written a piece on it with the university in Galway. What it said was, if you do not send, my collector will call to see you. She would prefer not to have to do this as it might be embarrassing for you, and we want to safeguard your reputation.
Wow.
We have not failed you. You have failed us. Now, at that very same time, this amount of money was supposedly for the maintenance of her child up until the baby was adopted. But her baby was taken at 4 days old. So, in effect, they were charging the equivalent of $3,200 for 4 days' care of a child in today's terms. You know.
And when their books and when auditing was done, there was no mention of these monies at all.
That's no surprise, because what has happened with the books that they've handed over, the religious orders did hand over some books to, we'll say, the Ryan Report and the McAleese Report, and for the mother and baby investigation recently. But those, pieces that they put forward are negligible. You know, they're not worth anything because they really do not contain. In fact, I would go as far as to say that the likes of CAB should this morning be conducting a dawn raid to secure the files that are within the 180 agencies, within the institutions, because these relate to the lives of people like Brian, who spoke last night, who cannot find the details related to his birth mom and how, you know, this was all influenced by the state at the time. The new Adoption Act came into force, for instance, in 1953, and St. Pat's Guild, which featured last night, was the first one registered. The evidence now reveals the scale of the elite and powerful who arranged the adoptions.
And Eamon de Valera Jr. Mentioned very much in that last night. I couldn't get over the fabrication, though, of what was going on. The mothers who wanted to adopt, they pretended they were pregnant.
Well, they did, because I suppose really it was such a ruse that, backup material and paperwork would be provided to their son or daughter if they ever needed it. But I think it was also a money-making racket. And I've always said, and Mike Milot, who wrote Banished Babies,
yes,
and Paul Jude Redmond, who wrote another, The Adoption Machine, they've all said, you know, follow the money trail and you will find, you know, the evidence. But there's another piece that is in Banished Babies, if I could read to you for a minute, and it's really informative. When Justice Farrell asked if Mrs. Keating's nursing home licence was in danger, the Garda officer who had led the investigation was Inspector Tony McMahon, said he had no instructions to investigate that aspect of the case, but someone else in court that day had taken it upon himself to ensure that Mrs. Keating did not lose her licence. A priest who knew her well had come to the court prepared to appear as a character witness for Mrs. Keating alongside Carol Mullen and Joe Doyle. In the event, none of them were called, but the priest was to go to even greater lengths to ensure the help that she remained in business. The priest decided to intervene at the highest level possible to plead on Mrs. Keating's behalf with the Taoiseach himself, Sean Lamass. This led to an interesting encounter, not with Lamass, whom he did not get to meet, but with the future Fianna Fáil Taoiseach and then Minister for Agriculture, Charles Haughey, who happened to pass by while the priest was waiting in the hope of seeing Lamass. The priest and the minister got talking, and when Haughey learned of the reason for the priest's visit, he laughed and told him, sure, half of the children born at St. Rita's were fathered by members of the Dáil. An exaggeration without a doubt, but there may be some truth in it, you know.
My God. The great and the good certainly came out extremely badly out of last night. One of the things that struck me, was it Mary who thought, at the end of the day, she thought she had found her brother? And I think this was indicated by Tusla. And then when the DNA test happened, it turned out, after all her excitement about this, it wasn't the case at all. They weren't actually related.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tusla have apologised in sort of overnight in relation to meeting Mary and people like her in the lobby of a hotel room.
Yeah.
But there is such confusion. And I suppose, really, to understand it, we have to put ourselves in the shoes of Brian, who was almost 60 when he learned he was not born to the parents who he felt who had brought him up. And then there's a complete disconnect and you wonder who you are and how do you find your way back. And of course you're feeling immediately for the unmarried mother who has given birth to you and the adoption and the fact that she was led or misled. And she believed, because some mothers tried to find out information with regard to their children many years later and couldn't.
Mm.
And that door or window of opportunity has now closed for many because their parents are deceased. You know, they are getting elderly. The state has time and again closed the door on this. They've known about this. It's come up in Dáil Éireann. Deputy Pringle has asked, Claire Daly has asked many times. There have been people onto this for years, but because it's such a, they say a complex issue, but really it's not complex at all. Mary Hanafin in 2001, they were trying to bring in legislation around this. And what they had said was that, we'll say, if I were adopted, for instance, and if I got details related to my mother, well, if then I went along to try and find my birth mother on my own, that would be punishable by a year's imprisonment for me or a £5,000 fine, because the whole remit was to protect the privacy of the mother. Then the Adoption Act of 2010 was signed into law in November of 2010, and despite the submissions from many of those affected, Barry Andrews at the time declined to introduce information rights to adopted people. We're still in the same boat.
I particularly felt for Neil last night from Ennis because he found out his birth parents were alive again in his 50s, and then he discovered that they were actually in the same town, in the town of Ennis, as he was. But this information wasn't available until it was too late.
And that was known by the adoption people who were placing him in Ennis. They did that, knowing that his birth mum was there. I mean, he could have played with his half-sibling in the playground.
Yes.
You know, there are lots of issues in this, and violations, of course, of family life and of the rights of the child. I think there is such a cover-up on this that now the government need to revisit again the Commission of Investigation. The commissioners have stepped down, and the government watched that clock tick down last week, despite calls from all sides of the House, including their own party members, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
For an extension.
Mm. That would allow a judicial review. I mean, outside of Ireland, those who look in now must think, my God, how insular and how corrupt at times the entire system was, because what it has done, it has kept family members apart. And the religious orders are shown up today for making it about, gathering more and more money on the pretense of caring for a child who was already given over to her adopted parents.
Which was incredible. Just finally, Breida, it looks to me as if they have to sort out GDPR on this, because GDPR is being used as a weapon to keep information.
Absolutely. That's what's happening. And it shouldn't be, because, you see, the information is twofold. It belongs to the lady who has given birth, to the birth mother, but it also belongs equally to her child, to be able to have his heritage. And I've a member in my own family, extended family, who is 88 years of age, who to date does not know who his birth mum or father was. And therefore, his history ceases with him. You know, when his grandchild asks,
yes, of course,
you know, about your mom, granddad, he cannot tell. And it's impossible to find out this information. Absolutely impossible. You saw, even last night, in one particular case, they had said that the date of birth was 3 weeks earlier than the written date. So really, they have changed it so much that how do you find your way back? And yet that goes completely against what the government had put in place in 1952 with the Adoption Act. But there were so many children. They are called the banished babies because literally they were taken from Ireland and they grew up like Brian did, thinking he was a natural American citizen, and until 60 years of age to not find out the truth, and then to have not just your own life upset to that extent, but your family.
Brida, as you say, I think it's just tip of the iceberg and there's an awful lot more to come. Thank you so much for your time today, Brida. Thank you and good morning to you. Bye-bye to you now. It's Brida Murphy there of the Tune Mother and Baby Homes Alliance. If you saw that programme last night, you might like to give us your thoughts on its content. 083-311-3311.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.